You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Skilled at leadership includes self-discipline, self-awareness, and emotional intelligence. Whether or not we're employed full-time, these skills continue to be needed where we stand in our everyday lives. They enhance our effectiveness, whether we're running a household, participating in a church group, belonging to an activist group in your community, or the many other groups in which we participate. We all need to be lifelong learners in developing strong and effective leadership and problem-solving skills as we continue to engage with others. This will be the topic today with our guest, Marguerite Calloway. Marguerite Calloway is the founder and CEO of the Calloway Leadership Institute, an international leadership development and strategy company whose mission is to help current and aspiring leaders reach their full potential. She's the author of The Energetics of Business, a practical guide for bringing your business to life. Join us for the next hours. We explore the lifelong need for effective leadership skills with our guest, Marguerite Calloway. I'm speaking with Marguerite in her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Marguerite, may I call you Maggie?
By all means.
Oh, great. Maggie, welcome to New Dimensions.
I'm so delighted to be here.
I'm so delighted to have you as well. First of all, as I said in the introduction, you know, we're connecting with groups all the time, whether we're working a 9-to-5 job. But if you go to the internet, you'll find a plethora of all sorts of leadership advice, but it's really in business. And I want to go beyond that. And I know that you are able to go beyond that. You're very good at that. But also, what about leadership in our everyday life? Why is that important to upgrade our skills, so to speak, in everyday life leadership?
Well, I personally think, from my own observation, is that we need leadership to move forward in all aspects of our life. And so one of the things that I've got, people will say, what is leadership? And what I have come to watch after decades of watching and working as a leader myself is a leader is somebody who steps forward. And I'm going to talk about constructive leadership because we're seeing a lot of destructive leadership around us. Is constructive leadership, those are the individuals who are willing to say something better can be happening. And they're willing to stand up and it's an inner feeling of things can be different, things can be better. And it doesn't matter what area you're working in, whether it's in your own home, because homes have leaders, but so do organizations and communities and schools and so forth. So it's a way of being in the world as opposed to where you do it. Does that help explain that, Justine?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. You're saying it's a way of being in the world. And one of the skill sets of leadership is to be authentic, to know who you are, to actually have some self-awareness. Where does that come in to leadership?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, and you mentioned it during your introduction, is at the end of the day, what leaders need to first do is become who they are. You use the word authentic leadership. Okay, authentic. Well, if you're going to be authentic, that means you come to know who you are individually. And that requires an inner journey. One of the things that I often talk about is real leadership is an inside-out process, that you first have to start with yourself. Who am I? What do I believe? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are those qualities that I have? So self-awareness is absolutely the first step as you develop as a leader. But you also have to develop a level of self-acceptance of who am I? And we have trouble doing that. We have these projections of ourselves of, well, this is what I should be, and this is what I should do. And that's kind of learned and projections. But at the end of the day, it's who am I as a human being? And this is, having done leadership development all over the world, this is way underneath culture. It is who am I as a human being? And we all have the capacity to explore that. And so to me, self-awareness is actually the starting point of coming to terms with your capacity as an authentic leader.
I love that. I love that. And Maggie, I'm thinking, like, I'll give an example. Here we are, we're in some sort of group, and we have our expectations of that group, and maybe it's not being led. You talk about constructive leadership, and it's not happening well, and we're kind of feeling a little bit frustrated. And I'm reminded of a moment decades ago when I first started circle work, and there was a particular woman in our circle. I didn't even know these women. So when we were all invited to come and be on a houseboat on Lake Shasta for a week, and we didn't know each other, but we were going to learn about circle. And at some point in that circle, one of the women, Robin Posen, who is a great leader herself, we were trying to figure out how we're going to go forward. And she said, I want it my way. I just want to do it my way. And we were all shocked to hear her say that. It just like was shocking, because we're trying to cooperate and trying to be nice to each other and all of that. And then she followed that up by saying, and each one of you can do it your way. And it took, and I just now realize, as I was preparing for our getting together, Maggie, today, I just realized that was a moment that in her leadership, she took us deeply into our authenticity. Like, yes. We started to drop, oh, well, here's, as you said earlier, here's what I should do, and here's how I should be, and I don't want to rock the boat, or all that stuff. And so we all had to look deeply at, okay, what is it that we really want? I know that you relate to this story, so if you could help flesh that out for us in a bit.
Well, first of all, that's a beautiful, beautiful example of somebody who's done the work within herself. You said that she's a great leader. And when you first said it, I started to get a little uncomfortable. She was kind of going to go my way or the highway. But what she was doing was she was stepping forward and saying, I know who I am. And this is, I want to do it my way, but I give you permission. And not only permission, I'm encouraging you, because each one of you is going to do it your way. And you see, Justine, so much of leadership is everybody has their own approach, and what's going to work with somebody is not going to work for somebody else. Otherwise, that's copycatting, okay? And we have so much copycatting going along of, oh, it should look like this, it should do this, it should do that. Whereas part of the goal of a leader is literally to help cultivate and bring forward the innate capacities of the people around them. That's another aspect of leadership, is there's an unselfishness. There's both a courage, and I am who I am, but I'm not afraid of you being who you are. And again, I want to focus on constructive work. And that takes courage, but it also takes an overall openness. And you and I both know that those circle, that whole circle work has gone on for over 50 years, I think. But she called it forward. That's a true leader. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't trying to make you like her. She was able to say, and each one of you have a role to play. Now let's look at that and let's get to work. That's your authenticity, bringing forward the, giving permission for bringing others to that authentic place within themselves.
And it's so true. And it was, because we just then went deep. You mentioned something about including everybody in the group. And we've all been in groups where there are those of us who are loud and are extroverted. Let's say it, extroverted. And we jump in. I mean, I know I have to be careful about jumping in because I get so excited about something. And then there are those quiet people that kind of sit back. So how as a person in the group, I think it takes some high noticing of all the people there. And how do we bring out those people who are more quiet but might have some profound things to say?
Well, you brought up the concept of extroversion, and you used the word loud, but extroversion is people that are comfortable being out there. And so let's also look at the concept of introversion. And by the way, we have fabulous extroverted leaders and introverted leaders. And I'll just say very simply, one of the things that I do when I'm coaching and working with leaders is, if your tendency is that of extroversion, you need to tune it down just a little when you're in the group as a whole. And if you're introverted, you need to turn it up a little bit. But now let's talk about who those people are, those quiet people. They take in most everything. They're extremely thoughtful. And the word that I have learned over the years is that they're self-contained. They do a tremendous amount of internal processing. And the one thing they're not prepared to do is to put out a half-baked idea. Okay, they want to do the concepts themselves. Whereas an extrovert is saying, well, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think about? So there's a different approach towards it. And so those introverts. So a good leader, if you're in that kind of a group, and believe me, they exist in all places, is one of the most important things to do is to make sure that those people have a chance to speak. And introverts do not like to be unprepared. And so sometimes if you're leading a group or in a meeting, you might want to give them a heads up to say, you know what, I am going to be calling on you about thus and such, which gives them a chance to collect their thoughts and to say what it is that they want to say. Does this make sense?
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely does. And sometimes we won't have the time because we won't know that that we'll be able to give them a heads up ahead of time. I want to talk about that in just a moment. I want to make sure that people know that I'm here with Maggie Calloway, or Marguerite Calloway. And she is the leader and CEO and founder of the Calloway Leadership Institute. If you want more information about her work, you can go to her website, CallowayLeadership.com. And she spells her name C-A-L-L-A-W-A-Y, just like it sounds, CallowayLeadershipInstitute.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
here with Marguerite Calloway, and I've got permission to call her Maggie, and as many of us do call her Maggie. You mentioned something about calling forth. We were talking about calling forth the quiet ones. That just reminds me of delegating. This is a hard one for me. I'm raising my hand here and saying, okay, I admit it's hard for me to delegate. I'd say, oh, it's going to take too much time to train someone to do something. And so I'm just going to do it myself. So talk about the skill within a group. If we turn out to be a leader of a group, what is your advice about delegating?
Okay. Well, I want to finish because this is relevant to build on the introversion and extroversion. Is one of the things that, as I said, you have outstanding extroverted leaders and introverted leaders. But one person that I think we all know, and I use examples that people are familiar with, but Barack Obama, one of our former presidents, is a strong introvert. Believe it or not, his wife, Michelle, is a very strong extrovert. And you can see it in their writings and all of this. But one of the things that Barack got to in a habit was he would never have a serious meeting without requiring, and people knew coming into the meeting, that everyone was going to be called on to have their point of view. Because he stood up and said, I take the responsibility to make the final decision, but I need your input. I need your input, and I'm going to take it seriously. And so now that leads somewhat into delegation, Justine, is that none of us are good at everything, okay? None of us are good at everything. And time is one of our scarcest gifts and quantities. Nobody gets 27 hours in a day. Nobody gets 22. It's 24 hours. And so part of leadership is really coming down to saying, how do I use that effectively? And acknowledging, this is part of self-awareness, I can't do everything. I'm interested, but I can't do everything. And I need to stay focused on what I'm doing. Now, when we get to delegation, it also part of leadership is understanding what people are good at. Okay? We all do better when we're working in an area that we have competence in, but also have confidence in. And so sometimes we delegate with something that the people, that person is not necessarily that good at. And then it just makes it harder and more complicated. That's item number one. Item number two that I've said many times is nobody's going to do it exactly the way you do it. Nobody is ever going to interview the way you interview, Justine, okay? They are going to bring their own approach, their own style. Now, have you created some parameters of what you expect and what you want from that? But I think so much of leadership is recognizing that you can't clone yourself, okay? Nor do you really want to. That's all part of authentic leadership themselves. And you have to create a little bit of a broader perspective and then learn to give feedback on, well, this worked, but this didn't work so well. But as you grow as a leader and you're leading in a group, recognize that there are many talents in the room, and part of your responsibility and opportunity as a leader is to begin to understand the different gifts, okay? What are the different gifts in the team that I'm leading or the group that I'm handling? Some people are great writers. Some people are fabulous on technology. Some people, so you really genuinely get to know them, because what does that do? Is they also begin to see, oh, you see me, you understand who I am. And that begins the concept of psychological safety, that it's safe for me to take a risk. Whether I'm an introvert or extrovert, I'm willing to try this, and I'm not going to be punished if I don't do it perfectly. We have got to throw out the notion that we've got to be perfect at something right from the start. Any well-developed skill requires development, skill development, okay? And that is part of letting go of that. And there's a phrase of adopting a growth mindset. And a growth mindset says, well, here's where I am today. And if I work at it, I can get better. Whereas a fixed mindset and Carol Dweck mentioned this, she has a whole book on it, a fixed mindset says, this is all I am, and I'm going to be afraid if you challenge what I don't know. And this starts to fall into inauthentic leadership. And when people cannot grow and cannot adapt and are feeling insecure, then that turns into, I have to put you down so I feel better. And that leads into destructive leadership, okay?
Yeah.
I have to be better than. Whereas a growth mindset accepts that you're not perfect. And again, everybody's going to model the behavior of the leader. I accept that I'm not good at everything and I need your help. That's not always easy for leaders to say. I can't do it all and I need your help.
Yeah.
But that comes from a sense of security inside. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just thinking along with the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset. In the growth mindset, just on a very personal level and being personally aware, that I know that you really prescribe the idea that we can activate our neural plasticity.
Yes.
And how that can serve us.
Okay, well, I'll try to give you a snapshot of that. And that's a big topic. And you have some remarkable people that you've already interviewed in New Dimensions with Rick Hansen.
Yes.
Who is a neuropsychologist who talks about it. But neuroplasticity is the discovery that our mindset can change over time, but it takes time. And it literally is a rewiring of how our minds work. Our neurons actually change. And so through practices, let's just assume that I get very anxious when I'm driving in the rain, okay? Because I've been in several accidents, et cetera, et cetera. Well, first and foremost, what happens when it starts raining is, uh-oh, it's unsafe out there. And then I'll sit back and say, well, wait a minute. Is this a good day to drive? If I still have to get there, what are the steps that I need to take? And I talk myself out of my anxiety. But over time, you're literally rewiring. I don't have to be anxious about it. I need to be thoughtful about it.
Mm.
And luckily, we have the capacity as human beings to go through that kind of rewiring. As you know, I've done a lot of work in different parts of the world, including in sub-Saharan Africa and other parts of Africa as well, the West Africa, as well as East Africa. And these individuals have experienced an awful lot of trauma. And so what I've learned, because I do a lot of work on conflict resolution, is these people have a real aversion for conflict. Actually, they don't seek it because they know the worst parts of it. And so a lot of what they need to do is not just run away from that conflict, but to calm it down and make the assessment. Well, I have this old programming where it's definitely not safe, but is that relevant to today? Is that relevant in my circumstances? So part of what we do is we overcome these old habits of thinking and projections and are able to look at things in a fresh way. And that's what the beauty of neuroplasticity does, is we really can retrain our thinking and retrain our minds.
You mentioned your work in South Africa specifically, and this reminds me, and it I believe is related to neuroplasticity. I haven't been to South Africa, but I've been to Ireland. And when I was in Ireland with Michael, we rented a car. And Michael said, okay, Justine, you have to drive. And not only was it a car, it was a stick shift. And I had to then reprogram myself immediately about driving on a different side of the road than I was used to and had driven for all of my life. And like when you're on that wrong side of the road, you have to really program yourself, when especially making a turn, to know what lane you should end up in on the other side of that turn. And that's where I think we really get to practice on a body level that neuroplasticity. Would you agree? Because you've driven in South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. And they drive on the other side of the road. And I've learned to describe it not as the wrong side of the road. It's wrong to us, but it's right to them, and so on, is literally you have to get into a different mindset. But coming back to that, Justine, you've just now introduced another. So all of a sudden, you're in a new context. And that's the other thing about when you know who you are, you can say, well, I don't know this context, but I think I can figure it out. I think I can make my adaptation and I can move forward. That's staying engaged in the present and not in the past, but it requires an openness and it requires an open mindset. And so what I learned quite a while ago when I would go, because everything looks the same. You get to the rental agency, it still is the same agency. You get in the car, and the first thing they do is you open up the trunk, which we call the trunk, and they call the boot. I put my bags in, and then I sit in the passenger seat because that's where the driver's seat is. And I'm going, oh, I'm not in Kansas anymore, Toto. I am definitely not in Kansas anymore. And so then I've done it enough, but I still have to reorient. I have to reorient. Is what I end up doing is I learn to watch somebody else who's driving and I follow them. Okay. Which now you've introduced another critical concept is we have in our brain something known, and it's only been discovered in the last 8 to 10 years. We have something known as mirror neurons. We have neurons in our brain that take in information and it mirrors to us what we need to be doing. Well, that's how we learn. Okay. And so what I do is I won't remember because I'm so used to driving on the other side of the road. I need to follow somebody who's familiar with this. And this is another aspect of modeling behavior, of allowing others to, oh, this is how we need to do this in a way that's safe and so forth. But the concept of mirror neurons, that's how we learn. We learn from others. And we can speed up that learning when we let go of our assumptions of this is the only way to do it. Okay. I mean, can you imagine if you had sat back and said, I'm going to drive on the right side of the road because that's the way we do it. Well, you wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes. Okay. You would have been smacked and so on. But yeah, I have to admit, Michael had a lot of confidence in saying to you, well, you're now driving.
Okay? He did. It was great. And I actually did it quite well. And I was very happy to do it because I knew I would be better at it than he was.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a beautiful, now that's another beautiful example. You probably had, after decades of living with this man and being in the car with him, you had figured out, I think I drive more safely than he drives. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an honest assessment. It's not judging him as a person.
Right. Oh, great. I'm here with Marguerite Calloway, and we're talking about everyday leadership, which we all experience and how we can be better at it. If you want more information about her work, you can go to her website, CallowayLeadership.com. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the